chapter 11. Praise God, praise God. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11. We're going to begin reading at verse 30 and on into chapter 12 this morning. Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Aren't you glad? By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. Notice the ones that perished were the ones that did not believe. Verse 32, and what more shall I say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and Japheth, also of David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms and worked righteousness and obtained promises and stopped the mouths of lions and quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword and out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yea, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. Tradition tells us that was Isaiah the prophet that was sawn in half. Were tempted, were slain with a sword, were wanderers, wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. Think about it. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. All these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Wow. That's a lot of responsibility on me and you, doesn't it? Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, notice it was Jesus who is the author and finisher of our faith, who endured the cross and despised the shame, and now has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. In other words, this Jesus who we serve suffered more than all of these people of faith in chapter 11, was victorious, overcame, and is now set at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. Consider him. Consider what Jesus went through. How many of you guys have ever murmured before? All right, I'll pray for all you liars. We've all murmured, haven't we? We've all complained. Maybe it's our finances. Maybe it's the pain in our back. Maybe our car has broke down. But when you contrast life's problems next to what Jesus went through, when you consider him, wow, not nearly as bad. You've not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. And have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons? My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. And that's the word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for each person here. God, open our hearts to receive what you have for us today, and help nobody leave here untouched by your power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are admonished by the writer of Hebrews to consider him, to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, to think about what he went through. It's really sad when I talk to people about the Lord. Everybody has an opinion, and their opinion is always right. But the Bible says that he's the potter and I'm the clay. He made me, and why would the clay say to the potter, "Why did you make me?" In other words, they elevate themselves through their ego and their pride to the level of God, and they are the judge, and they decide what they will believe. The only problem is there's only one man who endured what Jesus endured without sin, and there is only one man that gets to sit at the right hand of God, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the master. He is the one who chastens. He is the one who corrects, and he is the one who loves. Consider him. In Hebrews 4:15 we read, "For we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but with all points tempted like we are, yet without sin." So when we consider him, we remember that he knows what it feels like to be alone. He knows what it feels like to be rejected. He knows what it feels like to be scared. You know, it's not a temptation to be scared. It's not a sin to be scared. It's only a temptation. It's a sin to act on it, to act out because of fear, to act out because of insecurity or rejection. "Well, nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to eat worms." Jesus was rejected. Jesus knows everything you went through. Jesus went through. First, consider him. What did Jesus feel? Obviously, he felt the nails. I've never had a nail driven through my hand. I've tried accidentally a couple of times, and I can tell you that's not fun. In fact, I've still got a scar right here where I tried to do that accidentally. But probably one of the greatest pains that he felt in his life was rejection. Rejection. You know, I had a preacher tell me one time, you know, the way that you witness to people is to let them talk, because everybody likes to talk about himself. That's pretty much true. We all have the seed of Adam in us, the seed of self. We like to talk about ourselves. What do you do for a living? Where did you go to school? What's your hobbies, you know? But if you were talking to someone about themselves and they were starting to tell you, and then you started talking about yourselves, how would they feel? Not important. That's what rejection does. It makes you feel less important, less significant. In fact, one of the titles of Jesus, how'd you like to have a title that means rejection? One of the titles of Jesus is the stone that the builders rejected. He came to his own, and his own received him not. His mission was to be rejected by the Jews, and he knew it. He was the stone that the builders rejected. When he went to Gadarenes for one reason, there was a man possessed with devils there. The devil didn't want him to get there. They had to get there by boat. And on his way, a horrendous storm broke out. It freaked the disciples out, but not Jesus. He was catching a little sleep. He rebuked the wind, then he rebuked his disciples, and then they get to the shore. The only reason he went there was for this one man. That thrills me, because at times in my life, when I feel like I need a miracle from God, I know Jesus would cross hell's storms for one man. Aren't you glad? He came to the man. He cast out the devils in him. And the people of the region begged him to leave. Now, if it was you and I in our carnal, fleshly mind, we might have gotten, see if I do anything for you again, right? They were more comfortable with the devils around them than the Son of God, and they rejected him and begged him to leave. The people of Nazareth, where Jesus grew up, said, "Is this not the son of Mary? Don't we know all of his brothers and his sisters?" And they were offended at him. Wow. Think about it. You know, for me, the people that I am closest to are the ones that can hurt me the most. My children, my friends, my spouse, my relatives. And here are his peers. He grew up with these people. He came to his own, but his own received him not. They rejected him. They were offended at him. And when he was in the temple at Nazareth, his hometown, while teaching, it says they were filled with wrath. He ticked them off. I used to think it was my job to please everyone, but I realize that if I speak the word, I'm going to tick some people off because Jesus did it. Oh, they weren't just filled with wrath. They were an angry mob. They took him from the temple out to a cliff and were going to push him off. Talk about rejection. I've had some bad responses to sermons, but thank God no one's taken me out in an angry mob before. Talk about rejection. The chief priests said, "Away with him. Away with this man. Away with him. I don't want to see him anymore. I don't want to hear him anymore. Write him off. Kill him. Get rid of him. I don't like this man." His own received him not. And Jesus said, "If they hate me, they'll hate you too." Our high priest, Jesus, can sympathize with feelings of rejection. Oftentimes, when people go to a psychologist to talk out their problems, one of the first things they ask is, "How was your relationship with your parents?" I'm reading a book, actually, by Derek Prince on the subject of rejection. And he commented that during World War II, during the Great Depression, that there was a lot of messed up kids that came out of that because mama did not want another mouth to feed and got pregnant. And during that entire pregnancy, she resented carrying that child. We know that children in the wombs can hear because John the Baptist leaped for joy at the word, at the name Jesus. And the very attitude of a mother resenting her child, talk about rejection. And so psychologists understand the impact of rejection from childhood on how it can affect the mental capacity of the individual. And Jesus, our high priest, can sympathize with the feelings of rejection. Now, we are told to consider him in our text in Hebrews. You know, you think you suffered, consider him. And we could all go home and say, "Okay, I really needed to hear that, Brother Roger. I needed to remember that Jesus suffered worse than me, and I need to consider him when I start to murmur and complain." But you know what? That's just not good enough for me. Because I don't want to just endure, though we are to endure. I don't want to just say, "Well, Jesus suffered, I have to suffer." And I know I will. But I think there's more to this than me because he is my high priest. I mean, I go to the doctor because I want to get well, don't you? I go to the dentist because I need this tooth fixed. And I go to the high priest because I don't want to just endure. I don't want to just suffer with rejection or fear or anxiety. I want an answer. I want you to fix me, Dr. Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So, as we consider him, I want to know what Jesus did to deal with the rejection. I mean, I don't recall anywhere in the Gospels, though he was rejected and rejected and rejected, that he just said, I just can't go on anymore. Nobody loves me. I just can't do this. Jesus didn't do that, did he? And we are to be like him. Colossians 2:9 says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And verse 10 says, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. I'm complete in him. That means I lack nothing in him. My problem is not what Joe or Sally or Jim did to me. My problem is not that my parents didn't love me. None of those things are my problem. My problem is I need to be in him. Because in him, I am complete. In him, I am full. In him, I am satisfied. And in him, I can do all things. Can I get an amen? So in him dwells the fullness of God, and in him I am complete. Look at your neighbor and say that with me. In him I am complete. One more time. In him I am complete. Glory to God. Psalm 23:5. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Now, if I was on a desert island and I could only have a few things, I'd want the 23rd Psalm. And if I could only have one verse of the 23rd Psalm, this would be the one, the fifth verse. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Notice the psalmist says, you prepare for me. I love to break that down. Because I am not preparing for me. If I could prepare for me, I wouldn't need the Lord. If I could fix me, I wouldn't need God. If I was just complete in me, I wouldn't even be in church this morning. I'd slept in and be eating chips, watching TV. But no, I am incomplete in me. I am complete in him. And he prepares for me. Glory to God. He's the shepherd. He says, you prepare for me. You anoint my head with oil. You know, all of these battles are in the mind, aren't they? Fear, insecurity, rejection, loneliness, anxiety. All these things are right here. This is why the psychologists are making more money than the preachers. God help us empty the psychology ward and fill the church, because the answer is still in the Word of God, and I am still complete in him. And so he anoints my head. He anoints me with the oil of heaven. He can fix my mind. The battle can be won in my mind against my fear and insecurity and rejection, because Jesus makes me complete. He prepares for me. He anoints me. And then he says, my cup. My cup. My cup. The Bible compares our bodies to a cup. It says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, or the more modern translation, jars of clay. I don't know if you've ever made pottery before. When I was in high school, you know, they give you the stuff and you make the pot on the wheel and you stick a little handle on it, and then you fire it in the oven, and it comes out as, I think it's called greenware, and then you glaze it, right? And once you get done glazing it, you fire it again, and then you got this cup you can drink out of. I think it's interesting that in order for the cup to be able to be usable, it has to go through the fire, not just once. And God wants you to know that sometimes you're going to go through the fire. And so then you're the cup. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels. God pours goodness and mercy and love and forgiveness in this cup called me. And if I can stay connected to him, my high priest, who can sympathize, who's done everything I've done and experienced everything I've experienced without sin, if I am complete in him, all I need to do is stay connected to him, and he will make my cup run over. That means I not only will have the peace that passes understanding, I will not only not fear rejection of people, but I will be so full of Him that some of that stuff will just start flooding out to people around me and splash on them a little bit. He, for me, makes my cup run over. Hallelujah. Now the devil will try to drain it. He'll try to poke holes in your cup. He will try to siphon out all the good stuff of your cup. But aren't you glad that God can pour it in faster than He can take it out, and the cup runs over? Hallelujah. When I was about in fourth grade, we lived in Tahlequah for a while. Most of my life I grew up in West Tulsa. My mom was homesick for her mom, and so we moved down here for a while. It didn't work out. But my cousin Gary and I, we lived up on Downing. Actually, it's where the donut shop is. My Aunt Maxine had a cafe in one side of that, and we lived on the other side. My cousin and I would walk down Downing toward downtown. And back in those days, the city park had this huge pipe running out of the ground and across it. You remember that, Floyd? I figured you did. Some of those old-timers, we remember that stuff. And so we would go down, and we would monkey bar out into the gravel bar in the middle of the creek, and we'd go up underneath that bridge there adjacent to Love's. And we would find pop bottles. Pop bottles were worth about a nickel in those days, if I remember correctly. And they would be down there full of mud, where people had just tossed them out as they're driving down the road. That was the days when people didn't wear seatbelts and threw pop bottles out windows. Carefree days. Yeah. We would rinse the mud out of the pop bottle and toss it up the grassy slope, where there was a DX station right there. And the reason we did that is there was a word on those bottles, redeemable. Redeemable. They were have value and could be purchased back. I love that word because it's a Bible word that describes you and I. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We have been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we would sell those pop bottles and have enough to get a pop if we drank it there and not took the bottle with us, and we would swig down a Pepsi at the DX station and go on our way. Because you are redeemable, God can fill you back. Those bottles had their cap popped and everything good sucked out of it and thrown away. And you may feel like you've had everything good sucked out of you and thrown away, but Jesus is looking for pop bottles today. Because you're redeemable, He will wash you and cleanse you and fill you up better than before. He fills my cup overflowing. Amen. Psalm 81:10, I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Woo! Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Is it possible? Is there a chance when we consider Him that He is not the problem? It is me. I have to open my mouth wide. I have to let Him fill me. There are things that I need to do in faith, and God can fix anything in my life. Consider Him. John 15:11. But these things, Jesus said, I've spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Notice whose joy it is. I wish I had joy. When I say that, I'm thinking, I wish I was happy. I'm saying, me, I'm happy. But Jesus said, my joy. Now, there is a difference between my happiness and Jesus' joy. I want His joy, don't you? I mean, here's a man who was rejected by everyone, and he's talking about, I want to give you my joy, guys. Golly, I want that joy. Oh, man, I need that joy. I got to have that joy. I want my fix. Jesus, fill my cup. Jesus, open my mouth wide so I can have your joy. He said, my joy remains in you, that your joy might be full, running over. People touch you. And joy, the joy of the Lord comes out. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The joy of the Lord. People say, well, what are you going to do? Oh, your car broke down. Oh, you got bills. Well, glory to God. God's got this. The joy of the Lord is my strength. When Jehoshaphat had to battle his enemies, they said, just put a bunch of singers like Nola Jean up there and praise the beauty of holiness. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God's got this. The joy of the Lord. My joy. It's not my joy, it's His joy. And He's willing to give it to me. And not just a little, a full measure running over. Ephesians 3:19. And to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Filled, to know. Well, I don't know if the Lord, to know, I know that I know that I know that I know that I know. How can you be so sure? Because I know that I know that I know. The fullness of God, filled with the fullness of God. So the rejection may come. The fear may come. The anxiety may come. Consider Him. Jesus went through it too. But look how He went through it. My joy. Fullness. The Godhead bodily. And you say, well, preacher, that's good for you, but you don't know what He did to me. You don't know how He mistreated me. You don't know what I've been through. No, I don't. I do not. But we are told to consider Him. So let's, you don't know what I've been through. I don't know what you've been through, but we know what Jesus has been through. The Jews were mistreated by Pharaoh. There's been people that have been mistreated throughout all the Bible. They are the heroes of faith. The Jews were mistreated by Pharaoh. When they finally got a chance to get away, they found the ocean before them and the army coming behind them. But then Moses put out his staff, a type of Christ, and the waters parted, and in one moment's time, God changed everything. In one moment's time, God changed everything. The giant Goliath scared and intimidated an army and a kid with a slingshot and some stones, a type of Christ, showed up. And in one moment's time, God changed everything. The nation of Israel was starving to death. They were boiling donkey's heads and eating dove dung, not wanting to. And then two lepers, he who knew no sin became sin for us, a type of Christ, wandered into the enemy's camp and found the enemy's gone and it full of food, and in no time people were eating, and in one moment's time, God changed everything. The three Hebrew children refused to bow. And the furnace was heated hotter than ever, and they were thrown in, but Jesus was in the fire. And in one moment's time, God changed everything. And wicked Haman plotted to exterminate the Jews. But God raised up Esther for such a time as this. And in one moment's time, God changed everything. And they led Jesus to the whipping post. And they beat him beyond recognition. And they mocked him and they spit on him. And they pulled out his beard and they rejected him. And then they nailed him to a cross at 9 a.m. And he died of a broken heart at 3 p.m. And they buried him and the disciples cried and hell rejoiced. but on the third day. Glory to God. I said on the third day, in one moment's time, God changed everything. Praise God. Come on up, Nola. And so we are told this morning, consider him. Not just to endure. Not just to hold on because Jesus suffered more than me, but because he is the answer to every one of life's problems. Consider him. Amen. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to pray. Nobody moving around. This is important because I believe God has brought some people here who have faced some rejection in their life. And this is your day to receive your healing. Hallelujah. Father, we come to you this morning in Jesus' name. My eyes have been on me, but I am lifting them up, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. And I am confident that though he was rejected and though he went through so much, that he is still my answer in life. He's still the answer. I don't want the world's joy. I want his. He has the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is the potter, and I am the clay, and I can't change that. I can just accept it. I can't change that. I can just accept it. And the sooner I accept it, the better my life will be. For he is willing and able to heal broken hearts, to restore brokenness, and to fill my cup to overflowing if I will open my mouth wide, if I will be willing to do it his way. The Bible says there is a way that seems right to man, but the end of it is death. And how tragic it would be for someone to hold on to their own precepts and wake up in hell when life could be full of so much joy if you do it God's way. This morning I have a challenge for you. If you have been rejected, if you have been disappointed, if you have been hurt by someone, if someone has let you down, I want you to put that in God's hands this morning. I want you to let go of resentment and bitterness and anger and malice. I want you to open your mouth and not grit your teeth anymore. I want you to ask Jesus to fill you with his joy, his forgiveness, his mercy. Maybe like one of those pop bottles, you have been rejected, you've been thrown away. He knows what you're going through. He was the stone that the builders rejected. He understands. He understands. But you don't have to live there because he is still the answer. He's still the answer. I'm going to say a prayer and I'm going to ask Nola Jean to repeat after me and lead the congregation. If this doesn't apply with you, just pray it with us. But I believe there's some that does. And I believe we need to verbally ask the Lord. Dear God in heaven.
Dear God in heaven.
I come to you.
I come to you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And I have been hurt.
And I have been hurt.
I have been rejected.
I have been rejected.
And I carry the scars.
And I carry the scars.
Forgive me.
Forgive me.
For my bitterness.
For my bitterness.
My anger.
My anger.
My malice.
My malice.
Forgive me for my pride.
Forgive me for my pride.
I'm sorry for my sins.
I'm sorry for my sins.
I believe.
I believe
that Jesus Christ,
that Jesus Christ
is still the answer,
is still the answer
to a hurting world,
to a hurting world.
And this morning,
and this morning,
I receive forgiveness and healing,
and healing.
Right now, I ask you Jesus to come into my life, to fill my bottle,
to fill my cup
to overflowing. I want your joy,
and I know
you're willing to give it
in Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah. You know, as we go down life's journey, as you leave here today, you may have felt something and you may have said, I really like that. But then remember, the devil is going to try to drain your cup. He's going to tell you lies. He's going to tell you different things. He's going to try to take out what God tried to put in. And that's where you have to be aggressive and not let him. You have to read your Bible. You have to pray. You have to go to church every chance you can get, because God is always pouring to those who are willing to drink. On the last day, the great day of the Feast of Tabernacle, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And I believe that call is still for all of us today, but we have to come unto him and drink. Amen. Hallelujah. We got a song, Nola?
Well, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
One more time.
Well, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Amen. God bless you.